Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Friday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. The new fiscal year starts next month, but Virginia still has no budget. And as Michael Pope tells us, leaders in the General Assembly are still divided over what to do about a tax break for data centers.
Virginia promised a huge tax break to data centers until 2035, although now Senate Democrats want to eliminate the sales and use tax exemption to pay for raises for teachers and childcare programs. Speaking to a group of business leaders in Northern Virginia this week, Speaker of the House Don Scott says eliminating the tax exemption would be going back on a promise.
We need to make sure that we do not do anything to kill the golden goose. I really don't care about specific industry. I care about keeping our word to businesses that we attract and that we want to retain in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's what I care about.
He says the tax exemption is a way to make sure data centers use renewable energy and build new infrastructure to drive down utility costs. Fairfax County Board of Supervisors Chairman Jeff McKay says he agrees with Speaker Scott.
I think if we can get a trade-off and we can get much, much more stringent environmental standards, as the Speaker said, supporting renewable energy anytime we can to power these.
The House and Senate will be meeting later this month to send some kind of compromise to the governor before the end of the month. The new fiscal year starts at the beginning of next month. Reporting from Tyson's Corner, I'm Michael Pope.
Coming up later on, is there still a chance Virginia starts up a legal marketplace for marijuana after the governor's veto? That and more will be discussed by Michael and analyst Jeff Shapiro. Their Friday conversation up in a little while. Virginia Tech has received a $75 million donation, the largest gift in school history. Most of the donation, made anonymously by a four-generation Tech family, will go to the school's athletics department for student-athlete support, recruitment, and other initiatives. Part of the funding will go to Tech's Honors College for a program that brings together students from several academic disciplines. Last fall, the school's Board of Visitors voted to increase its athletic budget by more than $220 million over the next 4 years. This note of disclosure, Radio IQ is a service of Virginia Tech. Democrats running in the 5th Congressional District hope to attack the incumbent, John McGuire, for a vote not to extend COVID-era credits that made health coverage affordable for more than 33,000 residents. McGuire made a rare public appearance in Charlottesville this week. Reporter Sandy Houseman asked about that subject.
John McGuire and the acting Secretary of Labor paid a visit to UVA's medical center to highlight a four-year-old program in which the hospital pays people to train for low-level healthcare jobs. Afterward, they agreed to a five-minute press conference where we asked McGuire what he'd like to tell constituents who could no longer afford insurance premiums.
We are actually working to make things affordable in the 5th Congressional District, working with Governor Glenn Youngkin and the previous governor and President Trump. We have negotiated almost $20 billion investment into this district. That's almost 7,000 high-paying jobs.
He then attacked Democrats for the North American Free Trade Agreement, a pact signed more than 30 years ago, claiming it had cost Virginia jobs. We pressed him on what that had to do with ending subsidies for people who needed help to pay for insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
They were designed by code for the pandemic. So once the pandemic is over, you would think they would expire. And they did expire.
And he claimed to be fighting fraud. Asked to elaborate, McGuire said he was part of the DOGE caucus, which had documented thousands of cases where federal loans had not been repaid.
And it would probably blow your mind that there are thousands of government loans out there where not one person made one payment back.
McGuire then said the Affordable Care Act was not affordable, that the federal government is throwing taxpayer money away, and we need to come up with a health care system that makes more sense. If it was a business, he said, it would be out of business. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Virginia's senior senator is vehemently opposed to Bill Pulte serving as director of national intelligence, even in an acting role. During a call with reporters Thursday, Mark Warner, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, talked about how unqualified Pulte is for the role. He also said the appointment by President Donald Trump jeopardizes efforts to reauthorize a section of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA. That allows the federal government to monitor individuals abroad for national security purposes.
And as important as it is, but the idea that I can convince a bunch of Democrats who were leery about extending this under Donald Trump to start with now someone who is a known leaker of confidential information, who's simple, pure qualification as being a Trump attack dog makes it virtually impossible.
Warner is also concerned that Pulte's acting role runs to the midterms. The Virginia senator thinks it's possible Pulte could use intelligence, true or not, as a reason to interfere with elections this fall. Transgender youth and their families across the country have faced a deluge of legislative and political attacks, culminating with the U.S. Supreme Court okaying bans on their gender-affirming health care last summer. But a new study out of Virginia Commonwealth University suggests the data used to make laws limiting such health care isn't sound. Brad Kuttner has this report.
Catherine Wall, a VCU psychology assistant professor, researched the science behind legislation that limits access to gender-affirming care for youth, specifically the idea that many patients regret or desist and revert to their gender assigned at birth. And she noticed something.
We don't necessarily know what the actual desistance rate is. We're not even trying to claim to know this, but we do know that this wide range of potential desistance rates is not a firm foundation for basing legislation on.
In layman's terms, the data we have, according to Wall's research, doesn't show enough regret to be grounds for banning that health care. One pediatric gender-affirming care provider in Virginia, we're keeping her anonymous to protect her from political and legal attacks, said she's seen about 500 trans kids for treatment in her 10 years in the practice. She can only remember five who stopped treatment, but it wasn't about regret.
It's a journey. Some folks will go from trans to cis back to trans, or transmasculine to non-binary to XYZ.
Richmond resident Reed Williams began her medical gender transition at 13, though she said her family first recognized her as a trans woman and began talk therapy when she was a toddler. About a decade later, she's grateful for the support, both medical and emotional, that made her the woman she is today.
There are just so many ways that this healthcare fundamentally changed my life for the better, and it is devastating to watch that be twisted to sound more extreme or untested than it genuinely was.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
A new data center project is being planned for Wythe County. Cardinal News reports TAC Data Centers wants to build an 11-building facility on 1,000 acres near Interstate 81 and close to the Pulaski County line. TAC is based in North Carolina, and according to their website, they have built data centers in 25 states with partners like Meta, Google, and OpenAI. This is the second data center project being developed in Wythe County. Significant drought conditions continue to hold across Virginia. However, some recent hit-or-miss rain has marginally reduced the footprint of the most extreme levels of drought in the Commonwealth. Washington County, just east of the Blue Ridge, Danville, Charlottesville, and Lynchburg, and the I-95 corridor between Richmond and Fredericksburg are some of the driest in the state. The situation could worsen in the near future, as a widespread rain event doesn't look to be in the cards, at least until early next week. Could Virginia soon have a legal marijuana marketplace despite a gubernatorial veto? Michael Pope and Radio IQ politics analyst Jeff Shapiro discuss that and the week that was in state politics and government.
All right, a lot of news to get to this week, starting with the ongoing budget impasse. Jeff Shapiro, the General Assembly and the governor have been locked in this controversy since March, and now it looks like the General Assembly seems to be poised to put the marijuana marketplace bill into the budget, despite the fact the governor's already vetoed it.
It wouldn't be the first time that significant policy is carried out through the budget as an omnibus, if you will, an umbrella under which all sorts of things take place. Given the limited amount of time remaining, the June 30th deadline to have a budget in place, this is all unfolding, while two other developments need to be noted. The administration, I guess this is part of the bigger puzzle, now says it is projecting an additional $1.5 billion in fresh cash over the next three spending cycles. And that would be more than enough to close the gap in spending between the House and Senate versions of the budget. And this is important. The UVA Weldon Cooper Center, that's an economic and demographic think tank up in Charlottesville, is predicting a mild recession sometime this year. And this is attributed to continuing losses in federal employment. And we've got to think about inflation, the Iran war, and the resulting oil shock. So a lot going on the economic, fiscal, and budgetary front.
So former Governor Glenn Youngkin was frequently accused of politicizing higher ed appointments. Now we've got Governor Spanberger, and she seems to be undergoing kind of the same criticism of her actions at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, this was going to happen, Michael, as soon as the Democrats took back the governorship. And you were going to expect, and sure enough, we have Republicans claiming that Abigail Spanberger is politicizing public higher education. At this point, of course, a lot of it has to do with the dismissal, her dismissal of John Rockovich, the rector, a Republican appointee, as the chair of the Virginia Tech governing board. She's alleging unspecified ethical violations on his part. He says there's nothing to it and that he intends to complete his term, which runs through June 2027. All of this going on at the same time, the Virginia Tech board is meeting and is installing new leadership, rector and vice rector. By the way, they are Republican appointees, Youngkin Republican appointees, and sets up an interesting contrast given that there is Democratic gubernatorial leadership in Richmond.
So Virginia is about to have a bunch of new gun violence prevention laws that go into effect in July, and there are a bunch of prosecutors throughout Virginia who say they are not going to enforce the new assault weapons ban and the new high-capacity magazine ban. How is that going to work?
Well, we've got almost 10 Republican, largely rural counties whose Commonwealth's attorneys and sheriffs are saying they don't intend to enforce these bans, which would take place on July 1st. The latest addition to this list would be Patrick County down on the North Carolina line. In rural Virginia, 2A rights are a non-negotiable demand. And I think this is going to set up sort of an interesting test for the governor and the attorney general, Jay Jones. So let's see what happens on or after the 1st of July when this ban is supposed to take effect.
All right, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we have been joined by politics analyst and UVA scholar Jeff Shapiro. Talk to you next week.
Ciao.
The forecast, very warm this weekend with some rain possible Sunday. Fairly sunny today, although just a few more clouds will try to work into the region later on. Highs from around 80 in the southwest to 94 in Fredericksburg and Danville. Some clouds stick around tonight. Lows in the upper 50s to 67 for Richmond. Some clouds starting out tomorrow, then more sun, breezy and hot. Highs in the upper 70s to mid-90s for areas east of the Blue Ridge. Isolated showers and storms Sunday, breezy. Highs in the low 80s to 95 for Danville, 92 in Roanoke, Charlottesville, and Richmond. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. And a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.